UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
In Louisville special, wingzone.com. You got it.
Hey, it's Lachlan McClain. You're listening to ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Hey, it's Andy Sweeney. Join me and Pat Forty coming up later today, 3 to 6, right here on ESPN 680, 105.7 for The Take. Pat will join us at 4 o'clock. Obviously, a ton to talk about. Kentucky basketball losers last night. Louisville basketball, they get the win over Miami of Ohio. Fat Jack at 4:45. Rick Bozich at 5 o'clock. It's The Take right here with me, Andy Sweeney, on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
And now, the umpire, no, it'd be basketball. And now, the referees for tonight's game. Umpire number one, Roger Ayers. Umpire number two.
I need another referee.
Mike Eads.
Mike Eads. And the referee, you know him, you love him, you can't live without him. TV. Teddy Valentine. Teddy. That would be awesome. The referees would drop their shorts. They'd be so stunned.
I feel like Teddy wouldn't exactly get the best reaction.
No, but we made it.
Also, turn the mic's on now. Sorry, there we go.
I was wondering when you were going to get me because I was like,
state your business. State your business. What does he want?
I heard the conversation. My business is that Mike Eads is the best basketball ref
in
the country.
I agree with you. I could not agree with you more. He's very good. Roger Ayers is very good too, by the way. Roger Ayers is very good. Eads, here's my best referee team. Okay, and you're going to not like the last one, but I'm just telling you the truth. It would be Roger Ayers, mm-hmm. Mike Eads, mm-hmm. Mike Roberts, former detective, done a bunch of Final Fours. Michael Stevens, mm-hmm. And I'd put TV Teddy on there.
How many? Wait, that's
five.
Does Ed Hightower still ref?
I don't know. I haven't seen him in ages. Yeah. And it's a good, very good James Breeding, who's right here in Louisville, is a very good official.
Yeah, he is.
Well, the guy who went to my college, went to Virginia Wesleyan, very good. What the hell's his name now? Oh, man.
Who were the guys at that workshop?
That was Eads.
It was Eads. Was Roger Ayers down there, too? I know TV Teddy wasn't. No, there was one young guy who I'd never heard of before. Eads, another one I'd heard of, another one that I didn't really know, but had been reffing for a while.
The guy, isn't that terrible? Doug Sermon.
Okay.
Doug Sermon's very good. He went to Virginia Wesleyan. He's very good, too. He would be on the list along with the four that I would definitely put on. I like Michael Stevens a lot. I might put him on. Mike Roberts is terrific, and the other three I mentioned Roger Ayers, they're the two I mentioned. Roger Ayers, Mike Eads, and Mike Roberts would be my three. You have a great game called with them. I think Mike Stevens does belong in there. The fifth one, yeah, give me any of those guys. James Breeding is great. Doug Sermon's great. That's the big guy's name. He's very big.
What do you think about Higgins?
I really like Timmy, but he's not even still revving anymore, is he? He's retired, isn't he? Pretty sure he's retired.
I haven't seen
Timmy Higgins was great. He would be on my list.
Who are your
retired.
Favorites? Do you feel comfortable saying that, Pete?
What
are your least favorites?
There are guys that I liked because they were iconic, but like they weren't my favorite. Jim Burr.
I love Jim Burr.
I love Jim Burr.
Because he had no use for any nonsense.
No, he didn't care.
He didn't give a rat's ass what bleeps. School, the home team, the visiting. He listened to you. You're the head coach, and you're the head coach. I'll tolerate the captain with a quick comment. Everybody else, shut up and let me do my job. I love that about him.
And he was like, he told Kevin Willard once this. He said,
because Kevin was the assistant, right?
Yeah.
I mean, not while he's been at Seton Hall.
Because Coach Pitino said, we got Jim Burr. And everybody like, oh, God. Because you couldn't talk to him. He was like the ref god. Like, he was like
he
that.
He was terrific.
And so the thing about him was like, Coach Willard would say that he hates when young men try to tell him how to call a game because he's been reffing longer than half of us have been on this earth.
That's true.
So when you said something to him, like you, if like,
oh, you, I'm sorry, go ahead, keep going.
So, no, if you said something to him, like the next time, like if you foul somebody and you didn't like the call, the next foul you would get, if he would look like a foul, you probably got it.
Yeah, well, he was I apologize. You were talking about John Higgins.
Yeah.
I thought you were about Tim Higgins. Tim Higgins is not related. Tim Higgins was a fabulous referee.
He was great. What about John Higgins?
John is still a ref. He's good. They asked people, CBS Sports.
Is he the one with the roofing business?
Yes, he's the guy that got whacked. We don't have to go visit that. The best referee in college basketball, this is what the people said. They asked college coaches. They asked over 100 college coaches, and the ratings came out this way. Roger Ayers was number one. Mike Eads was number two. Ted Valentine was number three. Vern Harris was number four. I don't know him at all. He works mostly Pac-12, they said.
I'm not familiar with him.
John Higgins came in tied for fourth. And Mike Stevens. See, the guy I told you. So actually, Mike Stevens scored higher than Mike Roberts. Michael's a little younger. Very, very good. Quotes that stand out on Roger Ayers. He's a great communicator, a terrific demeanor. He moves. He's got a healthy ego, but he's not an egomaniac. I think that's fair. He doesn't have a combative demeanor at all. I do like that about him. On Mike Eads, he's done a ton of high-level games. He has a great on-court demeanor. I've seen opposing coaches mother F him, and he doesn't jump off the deep end and immediately start firing technicals all around the building. let's see. Teddy Valentine, he's crazy. He's a little long in the tooth, but he's still one of the best five officials right in the game, maybe of all time, in my opinion. And we've had him a lot. I've had crazy Teddy. I've had Ted on his best nights. He doesn't anticipate anything. He sees the play through, and he's going to give you a fair shake. I'm telling you, that's what coaches told me. When I would say this, and fans would say, how could you say that? It's because I talked to coaches, and they all said, put aside the TV Teddy personality. He's giving you a fair shake, and that's all you want as a coach. You had him, obviously, when you were here, right?
Yeah, I had Teddy once or twice.
Not a big fan of Teddy?
Teddy's cool. I mean, he's not as bad as everybody thinks he is. I think the outside perspective is worse than the inside perspective. I think he's a nice guy on the inside, and if you're in the game, you know that. But like, if you're like a fan, you're like, oh, Teddy screwed us. He's always screwing us.
Vern Harris has done 9 Final Fours. My guess is if we saw him, we'd recognize who he is. Mm-hmm. But I don't know the name because he works primarily in the Pac-12. So anyway, it's an interesting call. I want to get to the games last night, but I want to ask you this because we were doing Ask the Referee before you came in. You probably heard some of it. And he was saying, I was asking what the hardest calls in football and baseball, because that's what he calls, Nathan calls. You do basketball. He said, I can't imagine anything being harder than a charge block. Is that the call that you think is hardest for you?
I mean, it's you know, it's different because with three men, you know, you got the guy that's on the baseline. He's the C. He has everything around in that lane line. But also the guy that's at the trail, he's always taught to stay with the play when the ball goes through the hole.
Right.
So, I mean, that's a lot of – I feel like that's a lot of things you got to communicate right there. And it's a bang-bang play because you're watching so much. And at that level, the collegiate level, high school, it's not as hard. But the collegiate level, because the bodies are so big and everything's moving so fast, it's one of the hardest plays. That's a hard play for me. And the other thing is – I mean, there's a couple plays that are
just hard.
The
charge block is hard not only because you got to figure out, was he there in time?
Yes.
You got to see, did he lean a little bit, which would make it a block?
Did he slide when he was airborne?
Did he get in front of him? And the other one that people don't realize is, and you might have been alluding to this, you're looking at it, and you're looking to see if he's fouling him up top. Is he fouling him on the shot? Is he hitting him on the wrist? Meanwhile, down below, you don't know, did he get his feet set? Was he down? You know, those kinds of things. You're anticipating guys going up for a shot. Maybe he tries to strip him on the way up, for example. You're looking at his hands.
Right.
And then he stands in there and the guy runs into him. Now you're like, uh-oh, Was he there? Was he not there? You don't know, because unless they announce to you, you know, this is going to be a charge block call. Get yourself ready for that. Yeah. You're not always dialed into that. That's the thing. That's what I've always said. I half wonder if there shouldn't be guys just in charge of foot fouls. Like, you know, charge block, stepping over the line, sidelines, baselines, because the referees got to watch the whole thing. It's up and down, tough, very tough to do, I think.
So, no, what drives me crazy is how at the high school level, when I do high school games, is that people teach you how to they teach you to put your hands up and stand straight up, right?
Yes.
But if you're attacking the basket and I got my hands up and you go airborne, just because my hands up doesn't give me the right to walk into you.
No, but it also, by the way, you know, it's very interesting. Most people don't know this. If you jump straight up, nobody would have the cojones to call it. Nobody calls it. But by the rules, if I'm going to the basket and you jump and you go straight up, you stayed
and
in
you're
your
playing.
Plane,
yeah.
And I run into you, it's a charge.
Yes.
But people say, how can you say that? He left the floor. It doesn't matter. He's entitled. It's like airspace. He's entitled to that.
Yes.
But you don't get that call very much. Once that guy leaves his feet, if there's contact, they generally call it a block. But that's not really how it's supposed to be called.
Yeah. And, this is my favorite one. I'll have a game where I'll allow some play in the paint. And you have a guy that'll want to hit a guy with his shoulder. And then try to finish through him, going through him all over top. Like, hey, his arms came down. Yeah, because you hit him in the chest. Yeah. Like, well, I mean, what do you expect? I allowed you to lower your shoulder, and now you want to complain about it? Like, yes. No. That's not how this works.
He wasn't really lowering his hands. He was doubling over in pain.
Yeah, you
doing.
Knocked the air out of him.
Unbelievable. Hey, we're going to get to the games last night, but I also want to talk to you about an NBA thing, because I happened to be watching, because the game was such a late start last night in the press room. I was watching it, and I'm not going to talk about it now, but did you see Miami play 2-3 zone for almost the whole game last night?
Yeah, but it's funny how
great was that?
But that big guy in the middle, man, you got to move when you're in that
I
lane.
Loved it. I was wondering. I give, you know, that's one thing about Riley, and he gives Spoelstra. Spoelstra's got the cojones to do outside the box stuff.
But he's so good. And the reason why I
who's
like
the
Spoelstra,
yeah.
Because when you look at the amount of talent he does not have.
That's what I'm saying. They're playing a motion offense and a 2-3 zone. He's coaching a college team.
No, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
And they're like 19-6 in the NBA.
And their best player is the guy that came out the G League and went to the University of Oakland in Michigan.
I mean, it's
is
just
he starting
besides
Jimmy Butler.
Well,
Jimmy
Butler, go yeah. up into that tier of like top four
it's
coaches
funny
in
because,
the NBA because forever it was always the whole like, you know, you had the big three, roll the balls out there, which never was fair. Really,
no,
but now he's got one well, star in Jimmy Butler.
Coach,
but
Coach Crum used to always say this, great players make coaches look great.
Yeah, but to your point, Nick, and it's a great point, he did have great players, but he also didn't really bring a great resume to the table. So no. People dismissed him as a lightweight. He was like working on Pat's staff as like a video guy or something.
Forever.
Crap.
Forever.
And all of a sudden, boy, they hoist him into the head coaching chair. And a lot of people thought they did it, as you know, because they were going to stink. They were going to be bad.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they got all these players, and it was all talk about Pat's going to come back. And to his credit, he stayed out because he was tempted. But he stayed out of it, and he let Spoelstra do it. And Spoelstra did a great job. And now this year they're supposed to be meh. And they would have home court advantage in the first round of the playoffs right
yes.
now. He's thinking outside the box. And I think that's great for the game, man. I think, you know, you got the best players in the world. You do have the best coaches. Let them coach, man. Every game shouldn't look the same. Have the guts to, you know, I often wondered that when they put the zone in, I was like, man, with all the size these guys have, you're going to see people play in 2-3 zone. And then, again, I understand it. The ability of these teams to shoot from so far out
yes.
made it harder to do, so they didn't do it much. But, boy, they played it. And when you got a guy like Ben Simmons who can't shoot at a lick, pretty good zone against that Philadelphia
team.
I mean,
you're almost daring him to shoot. Like, I play with a guy named Carlos Powell from South Carolina G League. And Carlos would be like, he goes, man, I thought you was Santa today. He goes, well, I thought you was going to make me a believer. You know, you know, I thought you was going to hit a couple jumpers out there or something, but it looks like you're not Santa Claus. I thought Santa was walking through that door today. He would talk to you like that. He goes, I guess you're not Santa. I was hoping you'd be coming down the chimney today. Looks like you're not. But he was the greatest trash talker ever. But, you know, when you got a guy like Ben Simmons who's not a great shooter, Mike Scott on their team is not – he can knock down shots, but he's not going to beat you with jump shots. And Joel Embiid – I don't know what he's doing this year, but kudos to the Heat organization because they've drafted well. They've drafted well and they've evaluated well. You got the Nun kid from Oakland. You got Tyler Hero, who's playing out of his mind next to Jimmy Butler. And then
keep in mind, they've gotten a lot out of Bam, right?
And Bam's playing well, too. So I mean they got a good nucleus of talent. And Gordon Dragic.
Philadelphia hadn't lost a home game all year, and they shot 38% when Miami played zone against them.
I do it all the time.
I just loved it. I was sitting in the press room making an idiot of myself. I'm still looking at the TV. They're playing zone. People looking at me like, what, is he okay? Is he having a seizure? What is he doing to us?
Because you,
top of the hour. We'll take a break. We'll come back, and we got more with Perrin Johnson here on ESPN 680 105.7.
Good afternoon. I'm Nick Feldman. Sports Center update. Brought to you by Gispiano Center, famous in Kentucky. Number 6, Kentucky. They went west to face Utah. There's a whole lot of this going on.
Higgins to the window, blocked by Lahat-Chune. Outlet, Timmy Allen. Allen looking ahead. Timmy Allen outside. Jones, transition three. Got it! Triple for Jones! Timeout, Calipari! Utah with its biggest lead of 14.
The call on IMG Learfield as Utah beat Kentucky 69-66. Not nice. The story, Utah going white hot from behind the arc, 53.3%, while the Cats ice cold, shooting just under 12%. The Cats, they're next in action with number 5, Ohio State, this Saturday. U of L, they were challenged by Miami of Ohio, but ran away late, winning 70-46. Jordan Warren led the way for the Cards with 20. Dwayne Sutton with 15 boards. Still the Cards, they did stumble a little bit out of the blocks. Coach Chris Mack postgame talking about that slow start.
6 points in 10 minutes. You know, our offense at times wasn't very good, to say the least, but we cured the turnover woes from first half to second half, which we needed to. We were much more aggressive on the offensive glass. I think that all stemmed from Dwayne Sutton's effort, and then Malik joined in. It was good to see, but we got to have more than 2 offensive rebounds in the halftime and a lot less than 8 turnovers.
The Cards, they're next in action with UK, the 28th of December, to football after yesterday's National Signing Day. The 247 recruiting rankings are out. UK has the 23-ranked class in the land, 9th in the SEC. U of L, 39th in the country, 6th in the ACC. IU, 50th in the nation, and 12th in the Big Ten. This Sports Center also brought to you by Great Flood Brewing Company, brewer-owned in Louisville, Maine. This Sports Center... More of you show next.
Give us your hot take on the UPS Jobs text line at 437-9680. V-Show with Bob Valvano is now right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
So it's always fitty-fitty if Paul Rogers and I make the press guide.
Fitty-fitty?
Yeah.
Not 50-50.
Some years we're in.
Fitty-fitty.
Some years we're not, but it's fitty-fitty. And I'm looking this year, and I think this is a... I only got a quick glance. But I think this
You're looking at that. I want to remind everybody that that SportsCenter update was brought to you by Great Flood Brewing Company, Louisville made and brewer owned, as well as Gist Piano Center, trusted in Kentucky. GistPianoCenter.com.
Why we're in, why we're not.
I want to say that because I didn't have the sponsor sheet in front of me. Coop grabbed it to go record something, so I tried to freestyle those sponsors and completely fudge them up.
I owe the university a spectacular apology.
Spectacular.
You have a whole damn page. How about that, Mikey?
Well, look at that.
As if your cards ego on the air. Look at that. There's Paul Rogers. There's me from pictures like 25 years old.
I'm going to ask you, how's the headshot?
I look like a 1950s banker.
you look like a young John Cusack.
Let me see.
I like John Cusack.
Is it the one that's up front?
I've never parted my hair in the middle.
Does he look like John Cusack?
I can kind of see you being Cusacky.
Cusacky. Yeah. Now we made the guy an adverb.
Pudgier, Cusacky.
Oh, there we go. I'm telling you, cannot give a compliment.
I was going to say.
Johnny Cusack.
I was going to say.
You look good.
You look good for a guy who doesn't look good. See, that's what he does.
Hey, yeah. No,
is he the master of the G for a fat girl, you don't sweat much. That's him.
Why you got the air turned down so much in your house?
Yeah. That's him. Exactly.
Well, because Perrin, I'm sorry. I feel bad. I was saying a bunch of stuff. You didn't acknowledge me, and then you distracted me going into the Sports Center, so I'm blaming you.
You laughed. You laughed.
It wasn't your fault at all.
Your happiness is paramount to me, and I made you laugh.
That is true.
So I thought I was being a good thing, doing a good thing, and instead you flung me under the bus.
You know,
he was nice enough not to bring this up, and I'm going to regret doing it.
Oh, no, don't do that. You don't need to do that. No, seriously. You don't need to do that because you'll be unjustifiably crucified.
I will.
And that's a fine photo of you, Paul, and Jody.
I still
and
don't have the guide, you mean?
Yeah, so I didn't want your head. I didn't want your head to get too big.
A whole damn page, Perrin.
Yeah, you got a whole page in there. Hey, that's a big deal.
You should sign that and give it to people. See what you could get rid of first. A lock framed photo. Because the player guy is kind of cool.
Did Produce take the lock framed photo? It was in here. Somebody must.
Yeah,
have
I think
it.
So. He said he was going to take it.
Unbelievable. All right. Here's what I wanted to ask you.
Wait, no. PJ was going to say something. We keep cutting him off.
Oh, go ahead, Flo. Please say something.
I forget now.
I'm just being honest here. I'm just being honest. It's all good.
Right, I feel bad.
Let's
now.
Just go ahead and put that one in the shelf. Yeah, let's just put that one in the shelf.
It's like, well, sure, you come to your own damn convenience. So I'm not ready now. I was ready before.
I had a strong thought, and it must have been, my grandma would say it must have been a lie.
Well, let's give you a chance to re-gauge those thoughts while I tell you about our friends at Genesis Diamonds. They're breaking all the rules, so you can really go big this Christmas. Right now, through Christmas Eve, you buy any item at Genesis and get the second one at half price. That's some serious savings. You heard it correctly. Buy any item and get the second one at half price, or you can finance it for 5 years at zero interest and zero down. That is making your money go even further. Oh, don't call me. Stop calling me.
By the way, you got a cold call here. This has never happened before.
A cold call?
Somebody called
and was rude to me?
No, somebody was trying to call and sell you like insurance or something.
Nice.
But they called the call-in number.
Nice.
And they're like, I'm looking for Bob Valvano. And I was like, well, yeah, it's a show. And I was like, yeah, what do you want to talk about? Well, you know, I'll get you potted up right
oh,
away.
Oh, we should have put him on the end. That would have been awesome. Let's go to John, who wants to weigh in. John, yes, are you adequately recovered for what? What are you talking about?
And so I called back because there's some stuff that, you know, you got gigs or whatever, and people like KFOV, so I don't know.
Right.
So I called back, and I was on hold, and she like put me on hold and just shouted out to the very nice lady, Wanda, just went out to like the bullpen, I guess. It was like, did anyone call a Bob Valvano? And then, so the music's playing. She comes back and goes, no one called. And goes, wait a minute, Chuck is usually just firing him off. And then puts it on hold and goes back there. And she goes, I think it was a cold call. Sorry. And
Chuck is usually firing him off. Oh, my. Well, there we go. Well, as I was saying, nothing's been held back for these final days right before Christmas. Rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, bands, collar, gemstones, pearls, designer jewelry, Swiss timepieces, whatever her style. Classic, modern, vintage, and whatever your budget. From $200 to $200,000. And with this limited time offer, you can afford to go big for that special person in your life. Get that pair of diamond stud earrings, and they get a matching bracelet that goes with it, half off. Get her that diamond tennis bracelet, or as it says here, that tennis bracelet. Get her the tennis bracelet. And then say 50% on the eternity band. Buy any item, get the second one at half price, or enjoy 5 years zero interest financing, no money down. Last minute shopper, no problem at Genesis. They got a great staff that will get you exactly what you want within your budget and make it a special Christmas for that special person. Genesis Diamonds is the official jeweler of the Wildcats and the Cardinals, and it's your home for the best Swiss timepieces, including Breitling, Omega, Tag Heuer, and more. Shelby Road Plaza, next to Trader Joe's. See the store for details. All right, a little bit later on, we might have the good Reverend join us to do a spot. We'll see. We'll chill.
He might have to read that Genesis Diamond ad.
No, you think you got to read one for Windows later on. But you can't do it now, though, because you can't do back-to-back spots.
Okay, yeah, we can't do
give
that.
Give that to the Rev and see
okay,
if
let's see. I will phone him in, and he will be here shortly.
We'll look forward to having him join us.
Just like Jesus, he's always on time. Never there when you want him to, but he's always on time. So he will be here.
What's the old saying? He doesn't work on your time, but he works on the right time or whatever that is. So tell me a little about last night. Louisville was spotty offensively. Their defense continues to be solid. My main bone of contention is they don't consistently move without the ball, and when they don't, they're too easy to guard. Now, the thoughts of Perrin Johnson.
I was waiting for the music to kick in, but I'm playing. They have these moments where the balls hopping and they look great, and then they just stop moving. It's like it's almost at times like they watch Jordan, and they stand and watch Jordan when he gets the ball at times. And that kind of hampers him sometimes from making plays and forces him into bad turnovers if he doesn't have a shot.
True.
So, and a lot of times, the other thing is, like, because there's not a great setup guy on this team.
Okay.
And that's another concerning point for me because, like, with even with Kristen Cunningham at times, he put guys in positions to score, even though we struggle from an offensive standpoint at times. I feel like if we had a great playmaker – that would take away from some of that stagnance at times.
I'm going to defend them a little bit. It's hard to make plays when everybody's just standing looking at you.
Yeah. And that's when, yeah, because, I mean, unless you got a guy that's just great offensively, like Kobe or like a Michael.
Kobe Bryant's not walking through that door.
No, he's not. No, he's not.
So, that's what I think the problem is that I don't think they're unwilling to pass. Like somebody that's a fresh turns the ball over, he's selfish. He's not selfish. There's nothing happening. He's trying sometimes to force things that aren't there, and that's a problem because, you know, you just keep playing. We said earlier in the show, people talk about ball movement, but Perrin, it's not just about ball movement. It's about player movement. If you don't get the players moving, I mean, we'll throw it sideline to sideline all day, and the defense is just going to look at us.
That's why I like, and I want to use this as an example. That's why the Spurs were so great. Like, because the ball touched both sides, guys were cutting.
But they were cutting.
The guys
hard
were moving.
Cutting.
Yeah, like, even when you watch, like, teams that run motion offense.
Like Miami.
Like Miami does, or... like Bruce Weber does that at Kansas State. He and Bobby Knight used to do that years ago when he was here. So when you have that type of movement, I tell people all the time, I'd rather guard a guy that's in the corner or like a guy that's going to stand than chase a guy around.
He's going off screens. He's curling. He's fading. He's back cutting. Tough.
Because when you got guys that are cutting, fade screening, reading the screen, slipping screens, that's a lot of work because, one, you got to communicate. When you got to communicate, it's that much more air out your lungs. And then you got to go down and run a play on offense and you're tired. And that's one of the biggest things where people are talking about with LeBron right now. LeBron, when he plays a lot of teams, he can take a play off or two because he's guarding somebody that's not a great player. But with the Clippers, he has to guard Paul George. He has to guard Kawhi Leonard. So, you know, that's the thing right now with Louisville. When you are, and that's why I think Miami hung around a little bit longer than they did because they weren't tired from a defensive standpoint.
Right, that's a good point.
They were fresh on offense because Louisville was standing so much.
That's a really good point, actually. They weren't making them. You, as I said, the whole purpose of your offense is to be hard to guard.
Yes.
And they allowed them. So they were ahead 15-5. I hate to say it. The place was not very loud. I think it was a subconscious, this is going to be easy. I mean, they try and get 7 kills a game. They got 4, by my count, in the first 6 minutes. That's 3 stops in a row. They got 4 of those. Mm-hmm. They had held them to 5 points in the first 8 minutes. I really think the subconscious, I don't think they articulated it, but you know that. You think in the back of your mind, this is going to be a cakewalk, and I think they let up a little bit. They weren't hard to guard, and they were playing in fits and starts, and then they made some decisions like Jordan – said, well, I'm going to let the game come to me. And then at that point, he's like, well, they really need me to step up now. And then he started forcing some shots. That's not what you need him to do in that point. He's got to play without the ball to get easy shots. And so, and as you said, they didn't make themselves hard to guard, so Miami was able to hang around. But what do you make of the guards collectively?
Nobody's really wowed me. I'm not really – I mean, Jordan's having the year that I feel like we expected him to have. And he's not really a guard. But I mean, you know, when you look at Samuel Williamson, he's inconsistent, but he's a freshman. That's what freshmen are. Darius had a good run early, and I feel like he's teetered a little bit and he's regressed a little bit. Not a ton, not anything that I'm mad at him about, but I know he can be better.
Well, teams are scouting him now, and they play 10 feet off him.
Yes, and so he's not a guy that's knocking down a jumper consistently. And the other thing is that it's making him hard for him to make a decision because he doesn't want to come down and prove to people he can be a shooter.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but now it's kind of trying to figure that out. And I felt like him or Fresh would be better based on the first couple games. And like I was trusting the fact that what we talked about was Fresh is going to eventually figure it out. It's just a matter of when. And I don't feel like that yet. So I'm waiting for that to happen right now. I figure like maybe in conference play he'll become the guy he was at St. Joe's. And stop trying to figure out how he fits and just do what he needs to do. Go play.
The difference is, though, those two guys are the best defenders, and that's still central to what he's doing. David is still, like all freshmen, learning the pack line, and it's tough. It's not an easy adjustment.
No.
And Ryan is a lot better defensively than he was, a lot better. But, I mean, those two guys.
And he's stronger. He looks a lot stronger.
But I think Darius and Fresh is playing pretty good defense.
Yeah. And I tell you what, I like Dave, but Dave defends like he's a freshman.
That's what I mean.
And Dave's going to get better over time. And he's got a lot of great tools, his length, his size. He'll be a guy that'll be a terror on defense at some point in his career. But you wish he was readily available on the defensive end. So I don't know. I'm still hoping we turn the corner. Even with all those things, I feel like we're the best team in ACC.
Well, they're pretty good. I mean, there's no question about that. They're 11-1, and they played four already Power Five conference games or the equivalent. Their defense, which is at the listen, if you're coaching a team, you can do what you want. But the guy who's coaching it has made it very clear that they are going to be committed to playing the pack line well for 40 minutes. The other stuff they'll figure out as they go. And that's what they're doing. I mean, how many games they hold? And you could say, well, I could hold it in the 40s too if we played slow down. But they're not playing slow. They scored 70 points last night, and they weren't even that good offensively. No. If they were good offensively, they could have scored in the 80s. Yeah. So it's not about artificially slowing the game down. It's they are really good defensively. I'm concerned about their rebounding at times too, though, which sounds strange when you had a game last night where Sutton had a career high, tying 15 rebounds, and Malik had double-digit rebounds. And Jordan, to his credit, is turning into a really tenacious rebounder. He had 7 or 8, and I think somebody else, maybe Enoch, I don't know the box score in front of me. But they're just, like, when the game's on the line, if it's a close game and they're playing that good pack line, the team shoots a three, they stand and look a lot at the ball. They need to, you know what I'm saying?
Get a body.
I see Rick say all the time, go hit somebody. You got to go hit somebody. So if that long rebound comes, it comes right to your chest. They stand, and I think when there's some stretches where Sutton is so good. I kidded him last night in the postgame. I said, you look like you're taking it as a personal insult for every rebound you don't get. Because he chases, and coaches, that's the one area coaches don't mind you being selfish. Go ahead, go get every rebound. Yeah. But I think sometimes when he does that, collectively, they don't rebound as well as they need to. And I don't think this team is wired where they can just leave the rebounding in the hands of a couple of guys.
Well, and here's the other thing. Like, Steven Enoch is not what you would call a test tube rebounder. He's proven he can rebound outside of space. So you want to see him do better. But but Dwayne covers so much space, and he covers up a multiple of things for those guys. When he's not on the court, you can see it.
It's noticeable, absolutely.
But I will say that I would like to see them incorporate giving Steven Enoch the ball more in the beginning of the game, because you want to keep a big guy happy, and I feel like maybe this is just me and maybe I'm old school, but I feel like they should try to throw him the ball a little bit more inside. I don't know how you feel about that.
Well, I think it's a combination of things. You used to have a coach use the term, I need big men who demand the ball. He doesn't always demand the ball. He comes and he flashes, and the guy fronts him, and that's the end of it. You know what I'm saying? You've seen those guys; their eyes are big as there's the steam snorting out of their nose. It's like, damn, I better throw it in there.
Yeah.
He doesn't do that, and he's a very nice young man. He's very articulate. He's not stupid by any stretch, but his basketball IQ sometimes frustrates Chris. Chris told us, and you probably remember the play. They're one big guy. They had the one really big kid, and he was in foul trouble. They took him out. He ran that set where they run the guy to the top, and then they enter it from the top, and Steven got it literally right in front of the rim. And now they're big guys out. He's the biggest, strongest guy we've got. Mm-hmm. And instead of just catching it and taking the whole gymnasium up with him and slamming it, he gets looking for guys, and he traveled. He didn't even get a shot off. And Chris was right in front of me at that time and lost his mind. And he said, how can you not know the game? They just took their biggest guy out. Your mindset when you catch it there is, I'm just catching and going, oh, I ain't thinking about this.
100%. Nobody.
And that's what he doesn't yet have, and that is frustrating because, to your point, whether it should or it shouldn't, it influences the perimeter people. It's like, well, why the hell are we throwing it in there if we're going to throw it in there?
All the time, all the time.
And then you're just going to travel with it, and there's no sense throwing it in there.
No, I you're 100% right. And Coach Max said this earlier in the year. He said they work on wanting him to catch the ball and try to dunk it with ferociousness and all that other stuff. But you can't make him do those things. And the other thing is, like, I wish they would pay attention to those things. Sometimes I don't feel like college kids do that enough, where if Jordan catches the ball on the right wing and you put him in the pick and roll, and he comes off the pick and roll and he scores a 17-foot jumper, comes down the next play and hits a three, maybe we should give Jordan the ball the next play down.
I could not agree with you more about that. I mean, that is, again, I use this term on the show all the time, the anatomy of the game. Not every game goes by the same pattern. No. And when a guy gets it going, you know, you find a way. I mean, the NBA is terrific at doing that.
Yes.
Because largely, if you don't, they'll yank your ass off the floor. But I mean, you know, if a guy's got it going, you find a way to make the extra pass to get him the look. At least make sure he gets a touch on it before.
Yes.
And I'm amazed at that. I couldn't agree with him. They make two shots, and then the guy will go 4 minutes and not get the ball.
What
the hell are they doing?
I watched Kentucky play the other night, and it was the same thing. You know, Emmanuel quickly comes down and scores. Came down and scores again. What happens? They pass the ball. And what was the kid's name? Tyrese Maxey shoots not even a three next to the 3-point line. He shoots a 25-footer.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Like, what?
Speaking of which, I don't know. You must have watched the game then. We had a very early V Foundation. I got to tell you, by the way, during commercial break, the stuff that went on yesterday for Kentucky and Friends of V. Why do you hear this? It's unbelievable news. But so we had a very early meeting. So I was up for me very early, 6:30 or something. So by the end of the Louisville game last night, I was gassed. So I went home. I didn't watch any of the Kentucky game. But the numbers, I think if you're a Kentucky fan, I'm not doing the sky is falling. It's got to be alarming because they are not going to shoot threes well. They shoot 2 of 17 last night.
Yes.
But the way they're going to try and beat you is they're going to be, like Cal said, they're going to defend you, and then they're going to shoot a great percentage. They gave up 54% shooting, and they only shot 41%. If you're not shooting threes and forcing a glut of turnovers or getting to the line more, and they didn't get to the line more. Utah got to the line more than they did.
Yeah, they did.
What are you going to hang your hat on? So what did you see in that game? Did you watch some of it?
Yeah, I watched the whole game. So, I mean, I use this thing called Synergy Sports Tech. You know what it is. To give you people out there an idea, it's all analytics. So it gives you a breakdown of where guys score. And the Timmy Allen kid, before last night's game, he had 140 field goal attempts. Out of those 140 field goal attempts, 130 of them were inside the 3-point line. He had 27 assists to 28 turnovers. So that means two things. He's not taking a ton of threes. He's taking you off the bounce. And when he does have the ball, he's not looking to pass. That's a guy that I love to guard because I know when I'm guarding him, I'm not going to get screened to death. I know it's just me and him on an island. And I can move my feet with a guy like that.
True.
So now when you see that, and then out of his 111 attempts at the rim, 69 of his made field goal attempts are at the rim. So he's going to the hole. And a lot of it was like, and then his other side of his points, they come from either the foul line or 2-point shots off the bounce. So if you're guarding him, you got to know he's going to take you off the bounce. And then if you're a bigger defender like an E.J. Montgomery, because he's only 6'6", or a Nick Richards, he's going to try to up and under you. Because if he's shooting a ton of foul shots, that means he's getting guys into foul trouble.
Yeah, right.
So I don't understand what's going on there. But the main thing is what I realize is this. Kentucky's always won because they've had better talent and they've executed with their better talent. But this time, it was difficult. And Utah's a very hard team to guard if you're a young basketball team because a lot of their stuff that they run is deep into the shot clock.
Yeah. They only took I got to get the box score. They only made 23 field goals, but they shot over 50% from the game. So that means what they shoot, they took
42 shots.
42 shots the whole game.
Just to give people an idea, last night in the Louisville game, Miami, Ohio took 66 attempts. Louisville last night took 63 attempts. So that's 20 less shots in that game, same amount of time. So for me, and then the other thing is, the point guard for them, the Jones kid, true freshman, he's 6. They list him at 6 foot, so he's probably 5'11".
Right.
So this kid, from the 3-point line, he shoots 47%. You can't give that guy the attempt. He was 3 for 4 last night. And then the other kid, they got the both got kid. He was 5 for 10 from the field. And the main thing is, when I watch Kentucky play, it's amazing to have that much talent and it doesn't play hard. And what
you don't think they're playing hard?
I think not consistently through a game. I mean, I think they play hard, but their other problem is they play hard when because they came back. If they played that whole game with the energy they played to come back, they're not in the hole that they were in. But you know, you can't.
Let me ask you as a player, because as I said, I didn't see the game. I'm simply reading stats and you know, taking a look at the numbers, which don't lie that they clearly got outshot horribly. They got out free throwed. They held their own on the backboard. But there's no place where Kentucky had any superiority, basically. So the question I have is, when you see them looking like they're quote unquote not playing hard, is it out of a, you know, you play harder when you're confident in what you're doing.
Right.
Are they still trying to find out who they are and how they're supposed to be playing?
They don't have roles, in my opinion.
Yeah, Roger. Okay. Well, that's a simpler way to say it. I feel like
they don't have roles. Like, perfect example, Nick Richards. I'm gonna pull Nick Richards up for you right now.
Wow, he's a magician. Here he is, ladies and gentlemen, Nick Richards.
He's 6'11", 247 pounds, right?
Okay.
Now, this is just me, and I don't know about you, but if I'm coming down court, and I play with a bunch of guys that had high basketball IQs. Utah's starting center, Braden Carlson. Braden Carlson is 7 feet tall. He's 214 pounds. Now, I don't know about you, Bob, but the first two plays I'm running are going inside to Nick Richards, because a guy that's got 35 pounds less than him,
right,
is not going to guard him on the block. And what do? They're coming down and they're shooting jump shots. I don't get it. And there's
Richards only
there.
Took 3 field goal attempts the whole game.
I don't get that. That's where I'm confused. So, like, you know, I see that right there. You know, it's just a lot of things that I don't get. Emmanuel Quigley, he's 2 for 10. Tyrese Maxey was 7 for 13, but he's 0 for 4 from 3. But what I don't get with him is all his 3-point shots, they're like nowhere near the 3-point line.
Well, he's
take a step in, kid.
I don't, you know, that's, it'll make you scratch your head for certain. I mean, they were 2 of 17, 11% from the 3-point line.
Yes.
It's going to be hard to beat people. As I said earlier, you know, the best way to put it in context is Utah made 8 3-point shots, Kentucky made 2. That means they're spotting Utah 18 points behind the arc before they play. You got to be on fire inside the arc to make that up, or be creating a whole bunch of extra possessions where I've turned you over 18 times, I've only turned it over like 8. They did neither of those things. So they got some serious answers to find here.
So for me, you know, I'm watching that game. The other kid that Utah had, his name was Riley Batten. He only scored from 3 places on the court: the top, the right wing, and inside the key, which means he's either getting putbacks or he's picking and popping. And if he's getting on the right side, that means they're running what? A ton of pick and roll to the right side. So those are things you got to understand as a player. And I'm not going to say they're not teaching it, but a lot of these guys come in not ready to play. And what happens with Kentucky a lot of times is you have a lot of guys that just aren't ready to play because they haven't played enough basketball yet, or they've been able to get by on their athleticism.
Right.
And they're going to be a 10-loss team this year.
Well,
I think they're going to be a 10-loss team.
They've got 2, and they will see. They have maybe the most difficult task of all coming up here. It's hard to gauge exactly Ohio State.
If you're a UK fan, you want to pull your hair out because this is a group of guys you saw play well against Michigan State. So you know they can play. That in that game, they got up to play Michigan State. So Utah's not better than you. So how do you lose a Utah? And you're in Las Vegas.
I'm telling you, we don't know anything about anybody. January 11th is like tax date, because that'll be 8 games everybody's played against Power 5 teams, and you've been forced to play outside the friendly confines of your building.
Yes.
So that's when you'll start getting some answers.
But they're going to be in trouble when they got to go to Florida, because Tennessee's a tough out. They defend.
No, there's some, you know, listen, the SEC has come a long way in basketball in recent years. You clearly did not watch the beginning of the game. They went straight to Nick Richards. Well, I don't think you're talking about the one possession. I think you're talking about a trend. I mean, the guy only took 3 shots.
That's what I'm saying. See, that's the problem I have with people, because they say stupid stuff like that. Just because they throw in the ball one time on one play doesn't count. That's just idiocracy right there.
I got a soundbite from Mike DeCourcy that kind of reiterated your point. He was on The Take, I believe, Tuesday.
He's on The Take? Mike DeCourcy, I make no such accusation of Mike DeCourcy. He is not on The Take.
The Take,
he's an honest, straightforward man.
Radio
he's,
show. Not yet.
Okay. No, I feel better. All right. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, he just kind of reiterated the point. Let the cake bake on the Cats.
You shouldn't even think about being concerned about a Kentucky team until they're half, you know, at least halfway through January. And if they look bad, and a record looks bad in the conference at that point, then maybe you have a case. But we have done this now for 10 years.
We have, yep.
And they have never, you know, and the only time when they didn't get to the end in great shape was when they lose their best player to an ACL tear.
Right.
If you're going to tell me that one of their top 5 guys is going down, then I'm going to tell you to panic. But all those guys, you know, 3 or 4 of the 5 the other night played 35 minutes or more, 34 minutes or more. So everybody's in good health right now. So I would say that there's no reason whatsoever to panic. I'm not saying they're one of the absolute best teams. You know, Whitney's not adding anything yet. Juzang's not adding anything. Keon Brooks, I always thought that he was...
He's good. He's fine.
He's a fine player, but it's going to take time for him to be great. Again, for some of the reasons, it's going to take EJ, only he's 2-3 inches shorter. Where do the points come from? That's what you have to figure out when you're one of those guys. You know, Whitney, it would be great if he were out there scoring 15 a game, but he's proven at this point that he's not that guy, at least not as a freshman.
He put a lot of meat on the bone there. Let's address some of it. One of which is, it is a variation of what I said, which is, you know, and I don't think people understood it at first, PJ, about you find out who you are by January 11th, 8 Power 5 games. It doesn't mean, oh, we find out how good we are. Maybe you do. But what it does is it clearly defines, it makes certain to you, we can play this way, we can't play that way.
Yes.
We can do these things, we're never going to be able to do those things. So then you, and what Cal does a good job of, doesn't get enough credit for it, is he takes that assessment at that point and says, all right, well now I'm tweaking, his famous tweak, the system so that we're playing to these strengths and we're going to avoid
those
weaknesses. The question is, there are some things that, you know, if you can't shoot it, you just can't shoot it.
Right.
And I wonder about that. Like, of course, he said, where are the points coming from? Like, the one guy, I mean, all I heard about was Johnny Juzang was like, he comes in the gym and he'll make 1,700 shots in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And they so desperately need shooting. He plays 3 minutes. Is he that unprepared everywhere else that you can't find a place to run a shooter on the floor? If that's the case, I think that's a big problem. Now, Cal may figure out a way to work around it, but I guarantee you when he came in the year, he was thinking that kid was going to be one of the shooters he had, don't you?
No, I mean, absolutely. I mean, Johnny Juzang's AAU coach is a friend of mine, and I thought Johnny was going to come in and have a major role. Hell, that's the reason why he reclassified to come in early, because he's supposed to be a high school senior at Harvard-Westlake this year, I believe what it is. So I thought he was going to be a guy that was probably going to crack the starting lineup at some point. But obviously not, and that's why they got Emmanuel Quigley. So Emmanuel Quigley's been better at times. But
boy, Mike Pratt was convinced he was going to be primed for a big year.
That's what Cal said. Yep. And Cal said that. He said he's been really surprised with how we started practicing in the beginning of the year. And there's been guys are trying to figure out their roles. Now, I will say this out of last night. EJ Montgomery did a good job with – he only had 8 points, but he had 10 rebounds. So that he had good effort last night. So, but I don't understand where their points are going to come from consistently. And I don't know. I felt like this was a game where Keon Brooks could have stepped up and guarded the Timmy Allen kid, because he's only 6'6".
Right.
So, I mean, I figured he'd play a lot more minutes, and he played a good amount of time. But they don't have an identity. And I feel like
that's why they look like they're not playing hard, because you're indecisive. You know, as a player, when you're not 100%, should I be doing this? You don't go, you don't play with reckless abandon that you want to play, because you're hesitant. I don't know, should I do this? Maybe I shouldn't. Maybe I should. I don't know. And that's a problem.
And it's not, and people say things like, well, Cal's not teaching. No, Cal teaches. Like, he teaches, but it's, I just don't understand why it's not coming out the way it should. I just felt like Nick Richards should have had a better game last night. Should have got more touches in 3 attempts and all that. So.
Uh-oh. Oh, no. Oh, look who's here. Look who just dropped in. The good Reverend's dropped in. Reverend, how are you? It's nice to see you.
Bob, how you doing? It's great to be here. I tell you what, Christmas is almost here. Saint Nick himself, he has blessed me and let me ride on the sleigh himself. It was so good. Me and Rudolph, I fed Rudolph some food. Rudolph, he likes sweet potatoes. You should be surprised how much Rudolph likes sweet potatoes. Oh, my goodness. I tried to catch Drew Dina, but he was already running to the gym, always working out. That 25 again works good on that boy, I tell you.
Doesn't make him any taller.
No, it
anyway,
does not.
Anyway, though, it's so happy that you're in the happy season, the joyous time of year for you. So why don't you bring a nice, joyous read to tell the folks about these fabulous windows?
Well, I want everybody out there to know, if you want your blessing to come, you got to open the window. And you can do that with opening the window with Universal Windows Direct. Universal Windows Direct. Everybody can save a few bucks. Even me. The Lord allows me to open my windows with Universal Windows Direct, and all the blessings come through. Schedule a free in-home estimate with my guys at Universal Windows Direct. Oh, Jesus. They are going to give you a $100 Amazon gift card. I repeat, a $100 Amazon gift card just for meeting with them with one of their home improvement experts. Then they will replace your old window. You hear that? Your old window be gone so your blessings won't be blocked no more. They'll be able to slide right in. all the draft you want through that brand new window. It'll be beautiful, energy efficient windows and beautiful blessings for you and your household. You will save so much more on your energy bill. See, it's giving you money back. Can you imagine that? You'll be spending more cash year after year on windows if you don't let this stop blocking your blessings. I tell you, listen, it's already cold outside. Y'all know the temperature today. If you're feeling it at home, if you're feeling cold outside from the last winter, and you keep blocking your blessings with those bad windows, do not suffer through one more cold winter and no more blessing blocks. Universal Windows Direct are specially made to perform in our climate with super spacer technology. I repeat, super spacer technology keeps the edges of the windows warmer in the house. Windows are sealed longer, helps the windows last up to 5 times longer. You get blessings 5 times more. Plus, our guys, Bill and Mike, have always put it up and with true lifetime warranties. You hear that? Your blessings will be coming for a lifetime. If that ain't a blessing, I don't know what is. So you've covered as long as you got your own home and that 30 years to the next homeowner. See, you gonna get blessed and you gonna bless somebody if you move out as well. Right now, buy 2 windows, get 2 windows free, get 8 windows,
get eight windows free.
Buy 44, get 44 free, no limit. And that's with zero financing for 36 months. You want to hear that blessing one more time? Zero financing for 36 months. Some restrictions do apply. Just want to throw that out there. Plus, schedule your free in-home estimation today and get a $100 Amazon gift card. I repeat, a $100 Amazon gift card. I don't know about you, but Amazon's been good to me. So, with that being said, it's too cold to make sure your home is late for the winter. Call 502-487-5200. Get your Universal Windows Direct.com. Like me, you'll be saving, loving your windows. You'll be loving your windows, and all your blessings will be coming through.
Oh,
ladies and gentlemen, I got to go. Happy holidays. St. Nick's going to bless me and bless you. See you, Bob.
All right, Rev. Thank you so much, Reverend.
Merry Christmas, Reverend.
That was outstanding. That was awesome. If that doesn't make you want to get some new windows from Universal Windows Direct. He's good. And he's so happy at this time of year.
Man, he loves it. Christmas is a great time.
It is. It's right.
Is he wearing a Christmas hat? A little Santa hat? I saw that. Very nice.
Yes, he said he don't like this. He said he doesn't like to say ho ho ho.
Texas says, where is the rest of the sexual chocolate band? He's coming to America, reference there. A little bit
of breaking news.
Uh-oh.
And that's who I was shouting at down the hallway.
Okay.
James Wiseman's leaving school, evidently.
Mm.
He gone.
Wow.
He gone.
That's a wild, wild west down there.
It's, I like Penny as a person. I like Penny as a coach. I think having him in the game is good, even though he got the job, the most obscure, craziest thing I've ever seen in my life.
I'll agree with that.
But this is why you hire people the right way, and you just don't hire people like it's the wild, wild west. Because there's just a lot of crap going on in Memphis. And it's not bad. It's just not okay. And, you know, you hired a guy from a high school coach to a high major Division I program with a lot of history. And this just sucks. And I hate that for the Wiseman kid, because just as much as I'm a Louisville fan, I like to see great college basketball. And college basketball needs guys like James Wiseman in it. Just like we had Zion last year. And he could have been that type of guy in the game, but not to that extent of Zion. But I was really hoping to see him play more basketball.
Well. Couple of texts that are worth commenting on in the few minutes we have left with Perrin. One says, here's a project for both of you. And as I already admitted, I didn't watch the game last night. I was a little too sleepy. And when you watch a UK game, watch how many open looks UK gets versus how many open looks the opponent gets. You'll be floored by the difference. I assume meaning the opponent gets a lot more open looks?
Yeah, but a lot of that is they run their – like Utah can't play with UK pound for pound, player for player.
No.
But they run their stuff.
Yes.
And they did that. And that's why they didn't beat Kentucky, because they were better. They beat Kentucky because
they
executed.
Well, they weren't better individually. But collectively, it's not an individual game. They're not playing one-on-one. They're playing, you know, as a team. And they've got, let me see, I'm going through their starting lineup. They've got, let's see. I think there's only one freshman, I think, in the starting lineup, I think. Oh, two. Wow, so they're young, too. That's got to be disturbing if you're UK. They're not really old either. 2 freshmen and 3 sophomores.
Yes.
And the first guy off the bench is a freshman. Second guy off the bench is a freshman. Third guy off the bench is a freshman. Wow.
Yeah, Utah has 11 freshmen.
Oh, my God. I was not aware of that. That's
even more troubling, I think.
So those,
because that's the argument, and it's a legitimate one.
Yeah.
Is you say, all right, well, you get a team with a lot of returning players, and then you're a little ahead of you because mm-hmm. you're, but they have three sophomores and everybody else is freshmen.
Yes.
And they were executing very, really well last night from what you say. As again, I didn't see it, but I can guess when you shoot 54%, you must have been running your stuff pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, all it was they weren't doing anything special, Bob. They were just
executing.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded. Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
With UPS, future you gets seriously pumped. As a package handler, you'll have a great job this season. Make up to $20 per hour after bonuses for a 25-hour work week. Future you goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at upsjobs.com.